Luke, we appreciate that. That's our testimony also. Here we are having God Bless America Sunday. I appreciate the music this morning, the choir, and Brother Luke doing that, and all of it kind of geared, and I think it's a good season for us to be thinking about how much we do love the land. Amen? How much we want to preserve what God has given us. I'm going to an unusual place. The temptation, of course, was seeming like I ought to be choosing a text maybe concerning the day, but the Lord laid something on my heart I couldn't get away from, so I'm going to Luke chapter 15. Very familiar story. In fact, probably the best known story in the Bible. We refer to it as the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. And I think what kind of got stirring around in my head and I couldn't get rid of, I don't know where it came from, hardly, but when I was a kid growing up, well, for a while, started off anyway on a country farm. And the well we had in the backyard was dug by hand. Anybody remember those? It probably wasn't all that deep. We thought it was deep. And I know one thing, it was deep when you started pulling the rope and bringing the bucket of water up, because it could get pretty heavy. And I remember when I thought I had really done something when I could draw a bucket up by myself. Amen. But anyway, used to hear the saying like this, you don't miss the water till the well goes dry. Anybody ever hear that? Not so sure I knew what it meant as a kid. Think I know what it means now. Old folks were saying we take a lot of stuff for granted. And we won't miss it till it's gone. Amen. Luke chapter 15, we're going to start in verse 10. Again, a familiar story. And time would not allow to say all the stuff we could say about this portion. I have preached on it before, been a while, of course, but every preacher knows to preach occasionally, I guess, on the prodigal son. Jesus has just talked about some things being lost, the woman that lost the corn, the lost sheep, and so forth, and how God is so, he's teaching us how he's proud to see those things that was lost brought back. So here we really have the story of a lost boy when we talk about the prodigal son. So it says in verse 10, going back to the other things he's talked about, likewise, like those things he just talked about, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Then he tells the story to back the statement up. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, his inheritance. And he divided unto them, the two of them, his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. He wasn't a Jew. He owned hogs. He was a citizen. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. You know, we could point out so many things that are so obvious in the story, so common to life, repeats over and over from generation to generation, and what it says and what it symbolizes, the truths are so big to us. I want to just point out a few, maybe a little extra truths that might come along, and I want you to notice in verse 17, he came to himself like he'd been in a dream or trance. He'd gone so far, but now he's waking up. He came to himself. Somebody said, well, he really came to himself. His clothes was ragged and falling off him. He came to his own flesh, so to speak. I don't know about that, but I want to talk to you a little bit about what this prodigal missed. He missed what he had before. Boy, sometimes the well has to go dry before we do miss the water. He missed what he'd had before, what he'd taken for granted. For instance, food. Young folks, did you ever think the food don't just grow in the refrigerator? If it's growing in there, something's wrong with it. But anyway, it don't just grow in there. Somebody had to put it there. Somebody had to pay for it. I don't know about you, but I open the refrigerator too often. And I always find something. A little too much often, but the truth is somebody had to think about it ahead of time. Somebody had to pay for it. Somebody had to put it there. It's so easy to take it so much for granted. Your clothes, truthfully, they don't just appear in the closet. They don't just appear pressed and clean. Somebody got involved to make that happen. Yeah, we kind of take that for granted, don't we? All the common things, the clean bed. No, who changes the sheets? You know, I mean, we grew up with that. I did. We might have been poor, but we were clean. And Mama took care of things. And you know what? I see a lot of our college students here, and a lot of them, some of them brand new with us, and they're learning what I'm preaching right now. Somebody was doing something extra at home they might have took for granted, but don't find it so common anymore. And it's real. It's real. It came from real love. You know, it says here in the text, when he went to fill his belly, his stomach with what the swine was eating, it said no man gave to him. Somebody had been given to him. Mom and dad, home had been given to him. Somebody had loved him. This man didn't love him. He was a citizen. He was not even a Jew. He was raising hogs, which was forbidden by, he was a dirty animal in the eyes of the Jews. And so he had left a place that really cared about him. You know, I'm talking about young people, listen to me. You grew up when you hurt your finger, your toe, you got cut. Oh, I remember that. And you don't see the scars after church, come see me. I'm joking with you, but you know what? I ran to Mama. I had my own emergency room. It was called Mama. And she knew what to do. Probably what she did might not be approved today by the standards. But I'll tell you one thing. When she touched it, it felt better. When she got her hands on it, it was more real. It felt better. And the truth of the matter is, this prodigal had left that he'd been taken for granted. He'd left the place of care. He'd left the place where he could have what he needed when he needed it. And perhaps, I'm sure, took it for granted. I suspect he realized that, you know, nobody knows I'm alive. Nobody's praying for me. He'd forgot what he left. Maybe, and I can tell you, in a Jewish home, I can almost guarantee you, in those days, there was family worship. There were certain religious things they did to remind them of the Exodus out of Egypt and all of the Passover lamb and all the stuff that was part of their religion. I'm sure that he'd been raised in that and maybe missing it now. If we run it back in our history as America, it was going to the little church, going with the family. I mean, not been too big. You ever notice, listen to our songs on our radio station. We like to hear songs like The Little Church in the Wildwood and all of that, don't we? You hear somebody every now and then saying, oh, I wish I could hear a hymn from back home. Well, you can still hear those hymns here. But I know what they're saying. things have changed so much, and so much has been lost. And in those days, we took a lot of stuff for granted. And in a way, we'd like to recapture it and hold on to it and bring it back. I'm not sure, but I think heaven is going to be sweeter, because we're going to be able to see some things that we thought were gone, and have some memories again stirred as we get there. He left the place of real love, maybe the place of family worship and prayer and the songs and all. He left the foundation of a family. This modern age today hates the old foundations. You notice that? Doing everything to lie about them, destroy them, get rid of them. But this prodigal, he was missing what he'd had before, what he took for granted before. And we'd run that forward today and say, oh, yes, we look around and we see that today. But this prodigal was also missing what was really true. You see, he ran off to a mirage. He ran off to what he wanted to be true instead of what was true. He ran off in riotous living. He went off following the lust of the flesh. He went off thinking the grass was greener over the fence. Somebody said it may be greener over on the other side, but the water bill's higher. Talking about the consequences. And the truth is, that is true. You know what the world paints up with all of its lust and enticement is a mirage. It's not true. It's not reality. You know, a lot of young folks grow up and they think, well, you know, I was sheltered. Everybody, mom and dad sheltered me from this. And now I know the truth, do you? Or have you just been deceived? Now you yet got to find out the truth when you hit the hog pen, when you go to the bottom, when you wake up, when you come to yourself. That's when you'll really get the truth. He ran off to a mirage. He wanted it to be true. He wanted it to be that way. He went off with his perhaps friends. I don't know what happened at country setting. Maybe he's out there hoeing the field, plowing. I don't know. Maybe he and his brother and father. Maybe he saw some fellas going down to the city to have a big time. I don't know. Maybe he crawled up on the hill and he saw the bright lights of the city. Maybe even heard the noise. I don't know. But it enticed him and it deceived him. And it drew him away from that was best, that was true. And he went into a mirage. He went into that was fake. And those friends, well, they wasn't true blue. They were false. Have you ever noticed, you read the newspaper, some of these bad crimes and awful things that take place. Have you ever noticed how a group gets together and they do it together, and then all of a sudden they turn on each other instantly and start giving out? Boy, that's human nature all the way. Your friends aren't true blue. They're false. When he began to get in want, he had no friends. When he spent all, there was nobody giving to him. He had nobody caring for him. His friends turned on him. The pleasures he wanted were very seasonal, very temporary, in many cases very disastrous. I say to you today that that's still going on big time in our culture and society today. But you know what? He's going to run away from the farm. He's going to get away from that hard work. He's going to get free. Sin always punishes, promises freedom, and gives you bondage. Imprisons you every time. I mean, Jesus said, he that committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now, you can take that to the little vices or to the big ones. But the man that goes after sin finds out sin captures him. I mean, it's not freedom. It's bondage that he goes into. I use the example, just take a habit like smoking or drinking. And I'm going to do that to show my independence, the young man says. I'm going to do that to be like so-and-so. And so I'll take of it. Oh, the first time a fellow smokes a cigarette, it's nothing to it. First time he drinks a beer, it tastes like kerosene, truthfully. Not near as good as a glass of sweet tea, amen? Truthfully, didn't like it. Well, why keep doing it? Because somebody else is doing it. Because I want to be with the gang. I want to shine among my friends. Then all of a sudden, that cigarette takes charge of you. And you can't go to sleep at night without one. You can't wake up in the morning knowing your pack's empty. Because it's got you. Now you're the servant of sin. Who's free now? Same thing with the beard, you name it, and other vices right on down the line. Jesus was right. He that committed sin becomes the servant of sin. Sin's not serving you, you're serving it, according to the Word of God. According to life's experience, it proves out that way. Yes, freedom. No, it was bondage. Bondage is what it was. You know, our country today, we've had freedom, but we want to go down to the hog pen. We want to go down and taste around among the swine. That's what's going on today in our country. Oh, you know, we've looked around today and we've had a taste of the foolishness of this pandemic and all this other stuff of losing our freedoms. Folks, don't get used to it. Listen, you give up your freedoms enough, you'll never get them back. And while we're having God bless America today, we better wake up that we can lose what we've had. We can take it for granted. We won't miss the water till the well goes dry, but it's going to dry up on us if we don't wake up. I showed this in Sunday school this morning. Dr. Lee gave me this. This was actually $10 piece of money, $10 bill in Venezuela just a couple of years ago. But Venezuela bought into what America's about to buy in now if we're not careful, socialism. And in a short time, this $10 bill, you'd pick it up right up here. I don't care if you steal it or not, because now it's only worth 10 cents. From $10 to 10 cents. And that's the mirage. That's the falsehood that's being sold in America right now. If we go that way, we'll go to the same place this went. You say, I'm all right, I got some money in the bank. It'll be paper. Just paper. If it goes like this, we're going to lose our freedoms if we're not careful. Our country right now is tasting what it is. Till you can't go in this store, you can't go there, you can't go this way. I thank God for our governor, brother. He said, I'm pulling this restrictions off. You can go to the restaurant. Listen, I'm proud of him, but he's catching a lot of criticism. Pray for him that he'll stand strong, because we got a crowd in this country that wants to destroy our very foundations and steal our freedoms and deceive us all the way. Our country is tasting some of the foolishness of that right now. That's what it amounts to. Fear to control the crowd. Thank God many are waking up. When this pandemic thing first started, I compared it to the emperor has no clothes. Remember that fairy tale? You remember that story? You remember how they deceived the old king into thinking this is such a rich and such a glorious outfit, only certain people can see it. The truth was he was naked as a jaybird. Right? And one little kid finally, everybody else was going along with it. Sort of like we see in America today, everybody going along with what they say. The fake news tells us and we jump through the hoops and we do everything they say do. And the emperor has no clothes. And we need somebody to holler out, it's fake, it's false. And the devil is using it. Yeah, thank God for the kid that stood up and said he has no clothes. We look around today and see the hate directed at the churches. Out in California, did you see in the news this week where a few of the folks went outside on the parking lot, California, land of fruit and nuts. Anyway, California. Out on the parking lot singing. And they arrested him because he didn't have a mask on. You see that? Did you see the teenage girl sitting in the ball stand with nobody very close to her? She didn't have a mask on. They came and arrested her. She began to resist, so they tased her. And she's screaming and hollering, America, America. Boy, we need to stand up for old America as it once was. We really do. We see the church hate everywhere that you're looking. It is amazing. It is amazing. Now, thank God I see some. Oh, by the way, let me just say this. Governor Newsom out there. I'd hate to be him at the judgment, brother. Out there attacking God's church. One person in the building at the time. Did you see that this week? Didn't matter. You had 20,000 square foot. Only one allowed. But you could take your kids, but you couldn't take your neighbor. That's hard to believe that, I'm telling you, but it's on the news. It's what they're doing. And and a preacher friend of mine out there, they fined him for staying open over $100,000 already. I mean, this is a thing that is terrible today as we see our freedoms. This young man left home going to find freedom, and he lost his freedom. And if we leave home, leave our foundations, that's exactly what we're going to find in America. No, I thank God I see some signs of folks waking up. I've said that before. Did you see the crowd in Washington, D.C. yesterday? Anybody see it? Franklin Graham had a big prayer march through Washington. Praise God for it. They said at least 50,000. On the other hand, there was another group, another Christian group, Jonathan Kahn and some of them over there, and it looked to me like their crowd was just as big. And what I'm saying is, finally, maybe some of God's folks are going to say, hey, you're trying to take us to the hog pen. We're not going to stand for it. We're not going to take for granted the things we had. We're going to fight to keep them. And that's what we need to do. Oh, listen. Socialism, very real. I know I've said it week after week. Somebody said, when you going to stop on that? When you listen. And not till you do. Do you know, back, socialism's not new. America's been fighting that stuff for a long time. Do you know, back in the 30s, I'm thinking 39, 38, somewhere back in there, they actually ran in America a socialistic candidate. Bernie Sanders is not the first socialist that tried to run in America. He's the first one probably made the attention and got the media on his side. And who Biden is probably fronting for all right now. But in the 30s, there was a socialist. His last name, I think, was Thomas. But he made this statement. Now, get the statement. Some of you with your little fact checker, you can check me out. Get your fact. Your fact says that he, quote, this was his quote. He said, I know I won't win this year. I know America's not going socialist now. But he said in the future they will go. And here's what he said. He said they'll not call it socialism. They'll call it liberalism. And they'll call it progressivism. Isn't that what's in the news right now? Liberalism, progressive crowd. That's what the socialist candidate in the 30s said would bring America into it. They will become socialists by another name. Wake up, folks. Wake up. We're going to lose that we took for granted. Our freedoms. The water's going to be missed when the well goes dry. I'm going to be kind of personal with you right now, but one of the saddest things I've heard and read here lately is that Christian people, big percentage, don't even vote. Now, we're playing on this thing of vote. We got a Sunday school thing, but this Sunday school contest was before this election. But this is I used to say, kill two birds with one stone. So what I'm saying to you, yeah, we can play our Sunday school up with this, but it's dead serious that God's people that knows what's right, stand for what's right, and save what we can of our country for our kids to come. Boy, we need to do that, folks. This particle missed some stuff after it was gone. Some stuff he took for granted. Now, I mean, as common as a food and bed and a clean shower and all that stuff. Maybe he missed all that, but I think he missed more. I think he missed the love that was in his house. He missed the freedom that he had. And I believe we're going to miss it when it's gone if we're not careful. You know, somebody said so well, all it takes to lose our freedom is for good men to do nothing. Good men, not bad men, good men to do nothing. If we do nothing, we're going to lose it, lose what we've had, what we took for granted. This prodigal missed a lot, no doubt about it. He missed most, I think, of how true and how deep his father's love was for him. You know, in the hog pen, coming to himself, he was willing to settle just to be a servant, just for a little bit. He was willing to settle for that. You know, he knew, he said, I've sinned against heaven. Father, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against heaven. I don't deserve anything. Let me be one of your hired servants. That's what all you want to be. He didn't understand his father loved him as much while he was in the hog pen as he did before he got in the hog pen, because that's the way God's love is. And I don't know what depth of sin you have slipped into, how bad you have failed. God still loves you in spite of your sin. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you understand that? The devil will tell you, you're messed up now. You never come back. You can't ever get back. You can't ever get home again. No, no, no. Thank God you can. God's love is as great for you as it ever was. That's a hard thing for man to get around, because in his heart he knows I don't deserve it. In his heart he knows I've done wrong. I knew right. I turned my back on it. I wound up in the hog pen just like God said. I defied him and I went anyway, and I lost my freedom and I lost all the joys of life. Lost it all. But the good news is the Father's still waiting for you to come home. You can come back. You can. He loves you just as much. John 3:16 is probably the most common verse known in the Bible. Along, they say, this story here is the best known story in the Bible, the prodigal. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you understand? The good news is God is long-suffering. The scripture says he don't want any to perish. Long-suffering, waiting for you to come. See, that father was still at home. I think he was still looking down the road. I think he still had hope. And he still had his door open. He still had his arms open. He was still ready. He loved that prodigal just as much as when he rocked him in his arms. Just as much as when the doctor said, you've got a baby boy. He still loved him that much. No, the prodigal had made a terrible mistake, gone after the flesh, gone after the foolishness of the world, deceived by the devil for sure, but the Father still loved him. Oh, I'm so glad that's part of the truth of this story right here. You know, people get out there in the hog pen. Oh, they see what they've done. They know I don't deserve any better, and then they push themselves down further. But the Bible tells us that the Lord wants you to get up and come back and be back in the Father's arms and in his love. You know, it's real easy. I mean, I remember when I walked in the church and sat on the back row and began to hear the preacher preach, as he began to tell of the gospel of how Jesus loved me and died for me while I was yet a sinner, and how I could be saved, my sins paid for, my sins forgiven by God's grace. That was the best news I ever heard in my life. It seemed too good to be true. And it took a while for me to listen and for God's Spirit to impress on my heart, yes. You can't live it, but I lived it for you. You can't pay for those sins, but I paid for them for you. I gave my only begotten son to die on the cross that you don't have to perish. You can have everlasting life. Listen, I never got over that truth. I don't ever want to get over that truth. Man, saved by grace. Grace, something I didn't deserve. Unmerited favor of God. Wow, saved by grace. Oh, I couldn't earn it, couldn't work for it. I knew that. And to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and then find out that he would come and live with me and be in me and help me to stay in the Father's house and not run off again to the hog pen. I'll say to you today, you may be in the hog pen. You can choose to stay there. I don't know what your terminology is, but when I grew up on a farm, we sometimes slopped the hogs. Anybody remember that? Maybe some buckets would catch over the extra garbage, and somebody would say, can you take that and slop the hogs? I hate to say it, but there's some folks in the hog pen, and the reason you don't get out and come home, come to the Father, is you still love the slop. But oh, what a dead-end street that is. No future. Not even in this world, no future, much less in the world to come. I want to say to you, the good news is you can be saved. You can leave the slop. You can come back home. You can come back to all you took for granted that God was doing for you. You can come back on the same road that you got off of that the Father wants you to follow. I ask you today, where are you at? I hope you're not in the hog pen, but I got good news for you. You don't have to stay there if you are. You can get out and come home. The Father will welcome you with open arms. He'll receive you if you let him. Harder for man to understand, how can I come back when I've been the prodigal, when I've done this and gone so far? How can I come back? The devil don't want you to know that you can't come back, but you can. You can. You can come all the way back to the Father and get where he wants you to be. You know, this young man came home. He didn't expect all he got when he got home. He said, well, you know, if the Father whips me, blesses me out, refuses me, I deserve it. I think he was a little shocked when he found out. The Father put the shoes on his feet and the ring on his finger, and they had a big party to rejoice because he was lost. Now he's found. The devil don't want you to know you've got that kind of welcome when you come to God, but you have. Gracious time because of his grace. Jesus paid the price to make it possible for the Father to receive everybody that'll come to him. Trust in Christ. Christ paid the price for you. I've talked to you about it. I have a book in my office. Haven't looked at it in a long time, but I remember that book is called A Hell and Back. It's written by a medical doctor, Maurice Rawlings. I think he's dead now. Last time I saw him, he's pretty old and getting sickly. Maurice Rawlings wrote To Hell and Back. He spent much of his doctor's career working in the emergency rooms, hospitals. He was one that would put the paddles on a person that had the heart attack to bring them back, shock them back. He was the one when a bad wreck took place and he would try to keep somebody alive, try to bring them back when they went out. He tells many stories, but one of the stories he tells is of a young man that was in a wreck. Whatever happened to him, he was dying. And he said, I would shock him and bring him back. And he said, every time that I would, he'd come back in pure terror. And he'd say, Doc, don't let me slip out again. Don't let me slip out again. I'm going to hell, Doc. I see it. I'm lost. I'm going. And don't let me go again. And he said, two or three times he'd go and I'd bring him back. And he said, the young man was in such fear. He said, can't you tell me what to do? And the doctor said this. He said, well, I wasn't a Christian at that time. But he said, I told the young man, I went to Sunday school some when I was a kid, and I learned one verse. That verse was John 3:16. And he said, I quoted it to the young man. And he said, the young man slipped out again after I gave him the verse. And he come back and he said to me, Doc, I think it's all right now. But Doc, did somebody make a mistake? I don't deserve anything, but he was saying anything but hell. Did somebody make a mistake? And he said, I pointed into John 3:16 again and said, well, said that you wouldn't perish. He said he came back one final time and then I lost him and he never come back. But he said he came back one final time and with a smile on his face. He said, Doc, it's all right now. It's okay now. I can't vouch for that, but that's what the medical doctor wrote in his book. I got his book. That doctor said later on, I got saved and became a Christian because of that one episode and that one verse that I saw work on that young man's life as he was slipping out into eternity. I want to say to you, don't let the devil tell you it's hopeless. Don't let him tell you you can't come back. Yes, you can. you can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on Him. If you've never done it, you need to do it for the first time. If you've done it and the devil tripped you up, you need to come back and say, Lord, forgive me. You know what you'll find? You'll find that love is still there. That reception is still there if you'll come. This morning you have the opportunity. You're in His house. You've heard a man that He called to preach. You've heard me preach from the Bible. All I promise you is not mine. It's on the authority of God's word. He will receive you. Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. If you leave that pew this morning, come down that aisle and get right with God, He'll meet you right here. He won't cast you aside. Whatever you've lost, you can get it back. Would you do it? Would you bow your heads with me, please? Would you stand quietly? Father, we come to you in prayer. Lord, I've carried it as far as I can. I've had a group of people in front of me. I've told them what you say in the book. I've tried to reason with them, Father, that they don't have to stay a prodigal. They don't have to stay in the hog pen. That the Father is waiting on them and that Jesus paid the price so the Father can receive them. I pray you'd bless the invitation. I pray if there's one here that needs Christ today, needs to turn, repent from their way, come back His way, that they would do it this very morning. Lord, we commit the invitation to you. Ask as we sing a song, as people in the building pray. There's people in this building, Father, that's been in the hog pen. They know what it takes to get out of it. They know how to come back to the Father, so they're praying for others to do that. I pray, Father, that some would do that today. Say yes to the Spirit that speaks in their heart and tells them to come. Have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. I'll step to the front. Will you come? Will you come as we sing?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me.
Will you come? Will you come?
And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
As we sing, will you come?
Just as I am and waiting not.
He's waiting on you. What do you say to him? The prodigal discovered something that the devil uses mightily. Mankind, because of the depraved flesh, the devil has a strong advocate to get us to go wrong and do wrong. I've seen a bumper sticker that says, if it feels good, do it. That's a shortcut to hell. The flesh works against you. Proverbs chapter 14, around verse 12, says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Seems right, feels right. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. But that's the ways of death. It's a dead end street. It's deception. Way that seemeth right. But there is a way that is right. That way that is right is the Jesus way. Jesus said, I am the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. His way. His way. Hope you're on his way this morning. If not, you could be. It's your choice. No matter your age, your health, your wealth, what does matter is your relationship of knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. The one that loved you and died for you, that you can come back to the Father's house and be received. I pray you understand that today. All right, thank you, folks. Okay, we're always sad when somebody don't come to get saved, but our job is to go tell them how to be saved and talk to folks. Do you know the truth is, if you read the Bible close, lost people aren't commanded to come to church. Church people are commanded to go get them. That's the difference. That's the difference. Part of our problem today is it's harder to get folks to get over all the tricks and deception to come hear the truth. And where you should be able to hear the truth in church, amen? That's God's place, that he likes for the truth to be spoken. All right, we encourage you to be back with us tonight. And let's work our campaign now. And these little buttons are probably going to make folks think we're just campaigning for the election. No, we've got a bigger election we're interested in. Amen. That's to get folks to go to heaven. Amen. All right, Brother Perkins, dismiss us in prayer, please.
Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We do thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this morning, Lord. And Father, we thank you for the message that we just heard, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that we know no matter how far away we drift, we can always come back to the Lord Jesus. Father, as we dismiss this morning, we pray that you'll take us home safe, bring us back safe tonight. We love you and we praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen.